Have you ever saved all year for that one family vacation and ended up stressed out about every single dollar?
Not anymore. Hi, I'm Mary Ellen.
And I'm Jo. We're two busy moms who have cracked the code on travel with Points and Miles.
We're here to show you how we turn everyday expenses into extraordinary vacations.
This is Wonderland on Points, where we share tips and tricks to help you earn free and deeply discounted travel.
Let the adventure begin. It's time for another episode of Wonderland on Points, presented by Yahoo Travel. We're so glad that you are here with us. Today is really fun, guys. We're going to get into one of, I know Joanna and I have loved the opportunities where we've been able to capitalize on a transfer bonus. This is how I got to take my very first business class flight. Same with Joanna. So many of the cool opportunities that my family has been able to enjoy with Points and Miles has been thanks to transfer bonuses.
Yeah, absolutely. And the same for me. And this episode is amazing, guys. It really goes through a lot of beginner information when it comes to transfer bonuses, but then we get real deep. We learn some great tips. Owen is an extraordinary interview. You are going to love every minute of this episode. But before we go on to that, we want to remind you to sign up for the Why Wonder newsletter. You can find that link in our show notes. We will be popping into your inbox 2 times a week to give you all the Points and Miles tips.
But we're not going to hold back any longer. If you are an expert in the Points and Miles world, this episode is still very relevant to you. We learned some cool things from Owen. And if you are a beginner, then absolutely stick around. You're going to love it. Without further ado, let's get to the interview.
Let's do it.
Everybody, today we have a really exciting guest on the show. We are so excited to bring him to you, not just because of how knowledgeable he is. Certainly, that is the number one reason. But the number two reason is he also has a really fun British accent. Everybody get excited. This is going to be a fun hour to listen to. Today, we have Owen Beeney. You can find him on Instagram at The Points Partner. Owen, thank you so much for being here.
Good morning, ladies. How are we doing?
Excellent this morning. We are so excited to have you on. And before we have you tell us about your Points and Miles background, you live in California now. So how did you come to be from England here now and getting into the American points game?
I'm going to answer the question, but I have to warn you, you're probably going to want to spend the next hour talking about just that and forgetting everything to do with the points partner and everything else. Okay, take a deep breath, ladies. My father and I owned the largest paparazzi photography company in the world.
That's so crazy.
And my job was hoarding 1,500 photographers chasing celebrities around the world for the best part of 25 years. And that's how I learned the knowledge on every airport, every lounge, every product, every single, I mean, you name it. I spent all day long booking flights and leading from the front myself, chasing celebrities around planet Earth, taking pictures of them. I know the back entrances to every airport that you don't know about. You just walk in the front door. I know where the side door is, the back door, the underground. So I guess I was like a crappy James Bond where things didn't always go right. I guess luck is probably the easiest way to understand it. And then it must have been 2004, 2005. It was the first Britney Spears breakdown. I got a phone call from the number one newspaper in the world in England, and they asked me to come out to Los Angeles to cover Britney's breakdown. And then at the time, it hadn't happened yet. And I said, no. I said, I'll have a job in Italy. Me and the A-team are going out to Italy to shoot some opera singer today. And they were like, we'll double your day rate. We need you to go to LA. Britney's like having some sort of freak out and we want you to cover it. So I was like, all right, sure. So I flew out to Los Angeles, which was not a big deal. I would do that once or twice a month anyway. So I flew out to LA and the breakdown just never ended, which meant I never left. So this whisk dragged on for, I mean, I was flying backwards and forwards every couple of weeks to like go see my parents and my girlfriend or whatever. But I ended up staying and hiring helicopters and bringing more, you know, more photographers out from London. And it just went on and on and on. And before I knew it, we opened up an office here in Los Angeles. And I was covering Nicole Richie, Brad and Angie, Paris Hilton. It just went, Lindsay Lohan. It just went on and on and on. And I ended up just kind of staying. And then I ended up getting married here and having kids and buying a house. And life just kind of went on. There was a massive downturn in the paparazzi world around the time when TMZ launched. TMZ kind of changed it from being something from newspapers and magazines to being kind of 24/7, at which point there was no money left selling to next week's newspapers or magazines because you'd already seen it. And I could see the writing was on the wall. The industry was about to collapse. And I said to my dad, I'm out. Peace out. This is done. Like, we've had a great 25-year run, but like, it's time to do something else. And he said, well, what are you going to do? So I said, well, I only know how to do one thing, which is book flights and, you know, points and miles. By that point, I was already in the US system and I couldn't believe it when I got here. And I got a credit card that was giving me, like, back then it was like 2x points, not one. I was like, oh my God, it's amazing. there was no points and miles inflation just yet. So he was like, well, how are you going to make money doing that? I was like, I don't know, but I don't know how to do anything else. I never went to college. Like, I'm dyslexic. Like, my options are not that great. And everyone kind of laughed at me when I started the points partner. And admittedly, back when I started it, it wasn't making any money. I was doing private consultations and I was making like $100 a week. Like, it was a joke. And one thing just led to another. And I started, you know, I came up with a structure to help people. Anyway, that's kind of all in the past. That's how I started. I started by being a paparazzi photographer, flying around the world, and that industry kind of collapsing, and me not knowing how to do anything else apart from book points and miles tickets. That's how it started.
Incredible. You are right. I would like to hear more about that all day. In fact, you should have a separate Instagram just telling stories from that era. I would follow it all the time. That sounds fascinating. We have actually a lot of listeners that are not in America. We have listeners from all over the world. And I always wonder, like, why is this interesting to you guys if you can't take advantage of it? What do people need to have in order to get into the American credit card system? Is it just an address here or is there more to it than that?
Yeah, it's a great question. So the easiest way to take advantage, the first thing I would say is you don't need to be in the American system. I have clients all around the entire world. The American Express is kind of everywhere. And in every country, there is other credit cards that have transferable points. So you don't need to be on the American system. It is by far the best, but you don't need to be. That's the first thing I would say. The second thing is you can port your credit from American Express from any country in the world into America. So you can kind of back yourself into the American system. The third way is if you're a citizen, but you're not here. The fourth is if you have a social security number, but you're not here. The fifth is if you own a business, you can open up businesses. So there's probably about 15, 20 ways that you can get into the American points and miles system without being American. None of them are easy. And I spend a lot of my time kind of helping people navigate that space to try and take advantage of that. But you absolutely don't need to be American or need to be on the American system. It just helps.
Yeah, we get messages saying it's just so different. It's just so hard. And, you know, the points are just not the same. The welcome offers are not the same. I remember we were just recently in the Amsterdam airport and there was an advertisement for the American Express Platinum. And I think it was offering 50,000 points for the welcome offer. And I was like, for the Platinum?
Yeah, it's nowhere near like it is in America. It's just it's on a completely different like scale.
It's wild.
Yeah, it really is. Like America, I know it sounds really cheesy, and obviously, if you ignore my British accent, I am an American citizen now and have been for many years. There is no place on planet Earth that has the opportunity that America has. It just doesn't exist.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on to everyone's topic. First, though, I guess I should say, if you are outside of the U.S. especially and you are hearing this, really wanting to get into the points game, please go find Owen online. As he said, he's led a lot of people through this, so he can help you out over at the Points Partner. But today we're chatting about one of the favorite topics in the world of points and miles. I know it's one of my favorite topics, and that is transfer bonuses. If you are new to this world, we're going to give you an overview of what a transfer bonus is and how you can be looking for them. So let's start with the foundation right now. Owen, just give everybody, especially those who are new, just a brief explanation of how transfer bonuses work, what they are, how they work.
Transfer bonus. In fact, bonuses in general are probably the differential between doing this at a standard level and doing this at a ninja level. And there are two bonuses to look out for. The first one is a sign-up bonus, right? So, or the welcome offer, as it's called, on a credit card. The second is a transfer bonus. And the transfer bonus is worth more than a welcome offer or a sign-up bonus. A transfer bonus is when a credit card company offers you an extra percentage of miles by transferring your credit card points into airlines. So you can earn your credit card points by spending every day. And then if you move them at the right time into airlines where they become air miles, you can achieve an extra hit. And that hit can be as little as 10% or it can be as much as 50%, depending on who, what, where, and when. And as a general rule of thumb, every other month, each credit card company will have a bonus or two on, which means that if you've got a nice selection of credit cards, more or less, there's always a bonus on somewhere that you can take advantage of. And I actually spend a lot of my time on Zoom calls with my community, navigating who should move what points at what time in order to truly, and I mean truly mathematically, maximize this so that you can end up with beds on planes all year round, right? And I think that it's so interesting when I look across the landscape of points and miles, you have people at a very, very low end saying, oh, I managed to get a free upgrade or I managed to get a free flight. And then you've got kind of the deeper you fall into this, the more you realize that the advantage that can be had is actually of more benefit at the high end than it is at the low end. What do I mean by that? It's cheaper for you to get a bed on a plane than it is for you to fly in coach for free if it's done correctly. And that's kind of why I have so much gray hair, is navigating all of that and trying to work it out for people. But fundamentally, every single month, credit card companies are offering 10, 20, 30% bonuses by moving your credit card points into airlines where they become air miles. And for the most part, they transfer one to one. There are a handful of exceptions to that rule. But for the most part, one credit card point equals one air mile. And when you move it, it's worth 1 point something.
Yeah. Yeah. Notoriously, our audience is very budget audience. We have a lot of family listeners, a lot of mom listeners. And so the majority of the time we are trying to get as many trips as possible for our large families over the course of the year. But transfer bonuses are kind of the one time where our audience also will get beds on planes. If anybody looks Owen up or follows Owen already, they'll know that's kind of your tagline, I think, is I help people fly on beds on planes. And we just flew in some beds on planes. Mary Ellen and I just in January went to Vienna thanks to a beautiful transfer bonus. We transferred our points from American Express to Flying Blue, and then we were able to get a fantastic lie-flat business class seat for a fantastic price. It would have been $6,600 cash, and I think we paid $234 in taxes and fees.
That sounds about right. It was glorious.
It was absolutely glorious, and we don't do a lot of those kinds of things, but transfer bonuses are the time that you can really make that happen if you're trying to stretch your points. So do you have any favorite redemptions that you can think back on that have been thanks to a really amazing transfer bonus?
So many. I'll pick one. My life is doing those.
Yes.
How many? You mean today so far? It's only 7 a.m. Yeah. here, but I've probably got three already.
Have you booked one today?
One of my favorite. You know that, like, it's like drinking alcohol. Like, the first time is the best. So, like, I'm going to tell you the first time that I did a crazy good redemption with it using a bonus, and maybe that will inspire some people.
Yeah.
I found, admittedly, this was a few years ago, many years ago, in fact. I found 60,000 points for Delta One business class from Los Angeles to Tokyo. For 60,000 points, which these days you wouldn't get, I mean, it would be three times that. And there was a transfer bonus on from American Express into Virgin Atlantic for 30%. Mm. And you could book it on Virgin Atlantic because Virgin Atlantic is a part of SkyTeam, which is the same as Delta, same family as Delta. So I booked that. So it cost me net 42,000 points for Delta One business class from Los Angeles to Tokyo. And that at the time was, I believe it was probably like a $9,000 or $10,000 flight, which is insane value. And back then they had their own sushi chef on the flight. And here's what's so great. Fun. Like I literally had like a sushi chef cutting me sashimi on the flight. And the guy next to me, I'll never forget this. The guy next to me paid for his ticket and he bought it last minute, some businessman. He paid $11,000. And because only the first four people that sign up for it got the sushi chef, he didn't get it. So I paid $5.60 for that flight. He paid like $11,000 and I got better service than he did.
Did you tell him?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And to this day, he's still a client of mine.
You know what? That's the best advertising there is.
Yeah. Yeah. I spend a lot of time literally on beds, on planes, talking to the people next to me because they're the people that need it the most. The people that are already foolish enough to pay for these things, they're the people that can really take advantage because if they can afford to fly like that, they're spending a lot of money on their credit cards. And if they did it correctly, they wouldn't need to pay for it. The other thing that you said before that a lot of your listeners are predominantly doing family travel and in coach. I'm also a family man and I fly my family around a lot as well. It doesn't need to be in coach. You know what's crazy? Do you know what the number one cabin that sells out first using points and miles? It's premium economy. So a lot of the time, people always very naturally search for coach because you're thinking, oh, I'm a family of four, I'm a family of five, that's all we can do. You'd be surprised how much availability there is in business class if you pick the right dates, right routes, that is actually cheaper than coach. A lot of these programs have dynamic pricing, which means every time a seat goes, the next one becomes more expensive. So if you're planning on going on a Disney cruise and you're flying out of Miami, and so is every other family, then there's going to be nothing left in coach, or what there is going to be very expensive. But not one of those families checked business class and it's completely empty. There's no businessman flying to Miami on a Disney cruise. So I guess the lesson to be learned here is don't limit yourself to what you think is your limits. Search every class, search every option, have flexibility to not only fly out of your home airport, but look where the connection was going to be and search it, break it down yourself. If you're in Los Angeles and you're going to Miami and you're stopping in Atlanta, then just search to Atlanta, just search out of Atlanta, build your own itinerary. It'll be a lot less. And you'd be surprised. Most of the time when people come to me and they're looking for coach, I end up booking them something above that because there was something that they hadn't even thought would be available.
Yeah. My other favorite transfer bonus redemption was taking my family to London last year. I took my mom and my daughter, and that was a premium economy. It was not business, but premium economy on Virgin Atlantic was amazing. It was lovely, and it was so cheap. It was ridiculous.
Okay, so you took the words out of my mouth. I was just about to say, premium economy, as long as it's Virgin Atlantic or Emirates, you're going to have a great time. I love premium economy on Virgin Atlantic. I must have done that route from Los Angeles to London in premium, I don't know, easily 200 or 300 times before I started flying upper. Okay, here's a couple of tips just for England alone. So the taxes on points and miles going into London are horrendous.
Yes. Now,
they are double the price on Virgin Atlantic that they are on British Airways. And on British Airways, the points will be 50% more. Now, if you, I hope I don't lose the crowd here, but if you assume that points are worth at least 2 cents each, it's the same value to go on Virgin Atlantic than it is on British Airways. The question is, do you have more points or do you have more cash? And the answer to that will depend on what time of year and how many flights you've done and, you know, all sorts of stuff. But those are your options. Two or three super quick hacks for going into Europe. Most of the flights are going in and out of London. So everyone's trying to avoid London, but then you end up having to go to London, right? This is all sounding very familiar.
Oh, yes.
Okay, two or three super cool hacks for that. Number one, search on an airline that doesn't fly to London and they'll take you to their home airport first. So if you search on Air France, you'll go via Paris. If you search on Lufthansa, you'll go via Frankfurt or Munich, so on and so forth. And by doing that, you'll dump all of the taxes. So you're instead of paying $500 to $700 in taxes, you'll pay $75 or a couple of hundred bucks. That's the number one hack. Number two hack is don't take a night flight. 98% of flights going into Europe are night flights. But there are two early morning flights out of New York at 8 a.m., one on Virgin, one on British Airways, that take off at 8 a.m. and land at 8 p.m. They're day flights. You don't have to do a night flight into Europe. Go in coach or go in premium economy out of New York into London. You will save a ton of points and a ton on taxes. And if you're traveling with kids, it's a lot easier than with the jet lag. Those are a couple of the simpler ways. The other thing is, if you want to dump those taxes, is sometimes, especially if you're flying in coach, it will be cheaper to do it as a pay with points through your credit card company and not pay any taxes mm-hmm. than it would be to go in coach and pay the taxes, especially if you're a family of three or four.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that idea about paying your taxes with points, covering them with points. We talk a lot about that for families because we typically want zero out of pocket, or as, you know, close to zero as possible out of pocket for busy families who don't have a lot to spare, but they do have points because they've learned to work the system. And so that's a great, great option. Let's get into current offers today, what people can get right now. What are your favorite transfer, or just go through the current transfer bonuses, which ones you think are particularly enticing, and which ones you have taken advantage of for some of your clients?
Yeah. So right now, there's actually not a ton on. There's only three current transfer bonuses. One of them is Capital One to Japan Air 30%, which is outstanding. And I'm going to talk about that in just a second. Then there's a Marriott Bonvoy 50%. And I think there's one other hotel one. The first thing I'll say is I'm not a fan of using your points for hotels. Which I'm famously beaten up for that. It's what I call mathematics versus demographics, right? So the math, there is no point collecting hotel points. It just doesn't make sense. The value of a hotel point in relation to using it for airlines doesn't make sense. Now, if you have enough organic spend that you're not using all of your points for airlines, then sure, use them for hotels as well. But there is no mathematical way to justify having hotel credit cards and to spend your organic spend on hotel credit cards and stay in hotels for free if you've still got flying to pay for. It just doesn't make sense. So that's my first kind of controversial take on this.
That is controversial. How fun throwing out a little debate here.
Well, listen, as far as I'm concerned, there is no debate. A hotel point, unless it's Hyatt, is worth 0.4 or 0.5 cents.
Yeah.
Even the worst airline, you're looking at 1.1 cents. So your worst case scenario is that air miles are worth twice as much as hotel points. That's the worst case scenario. In the best case scenario, 16 times the value. So when you look at it in those parameters, It skews it slightly, but it does depend on who you are. That's why I said mathematics versus demographics. Mm-hmm. The demographics, yes. If you're a big family of four or five and you simply are not going to pay for hotels, well, then yes, you're going to need to use your points for hotels to get the free vacation, right? But would your points be better off used for flying? They would be. But if you want a free vacation, then that's not going to be the way you're going to use your points, right? So it's the demographics versus mathematics. It's a strange one. All right. Transfer bonuses. I want to talk about the Japan Air one. I think it is arguably the best transfer bonus I've seen in the last couple of years. Mm. And I'm going to explain why. Capital One is offering 30% extra for moving your Capital One points into Japan Air. It doesn't transfer at one-to-one to begin with. It transfers at roughly 25% less than that. So with the bonus, it transfers almost equally. So why am I so excited about this? First of all, Japan Air hoards all of its availability for its own flyers.
Yes.
So in other words, if you just move your points into Japan Air, there is unlimited amount of Japan Air flights that you can book. Literally any day of the week, any flight, you'll be able to use those points. You're going to Japan from anywhere in America. So just that alone, we could end this podcast right there. And everyone's going to Asia in coach for 20, 25,000 points per person each way, which is great. In premium economy for 30, 35,000 points each way. And in business class, starting at 55,000 points and realistically going up to 75 to 100. But you can, and I was doing this last night on a call with someone, I found almost every single month from every single place in America, business class for 55,000 points per person each way. So it's hands down already, just for Japan Air, it's worth it for that transfer bonus, right? But there's so much more. I sound like a secondhand car salesman, but there's
but wait, there's more.
Okay, Japan Air is a part of the One World Alliance, which represents 33% of all the flights in the skies. That includes American Airlines, that includes British Airways, it includes Alaska, it includes Qantas, so on and so forth. And you will find great availability on all of those things. But Japan Air's award chart, and I hope I don't lose the crowd by getting too technical, is a distance-based award chart. It means the amount of miles you fly depends on the price of those flights. And there's a sweet spot, and the sweet spot is between 2 and 4,000 miles, or as you might like to call it, the East Coast to Europe.
Yes.
So you can book, if you're interested, beds on planes for 42,000 points using Japan Air on American Airlines from, say, Philadelphia to Barcelona. And the same for coach as well, and it comes right down to like 10-15,000 points for flying out of the East Coast into Europe, using American Airlines and booked on Japan Air. So there's some really, really interesting partnerships within One World that you can book from Japan Air. But wait, there's more.
There's always more.
Now we're taking your new beginner listeners to ninja level stuff.
That's right.
So, Japan Air is not just Japan Air. Japan Air is not just a member of One World. Japan Air also has private one-on-one partnerships with a whole bunch of airlines. And I want to talk about just one of those, which is Emirates. So you can book Emirates on Japan Air using Capital One miles. I know that sounds like a lot to kind of swallow, but if you can get your head around it, the taxes disappear to the tune of 90% when you book Emirates on Japan Air. So if you're somebody who's thinking about going to the Middle East, or you wanted like a once in a lifetime opportunity with your family, even to do it in coach, Emirates is outstanding. It is fabulous. I can't think of a better place to put your rugrats than on the back of a 777 on Emirates. And that can be done for next to nothing. If you book it via Emirates, the taxes are really rough. It's like flying to London. It's like $300-400 even in coach. But if you do it on Japan Air, it's nothing. It's like $50 or something.
Amazing.
So I love that as a sweet spot. And what's really, really fun, and I hope to not push too hard, but I love to teach, Fifth Freedom Routes, which is when an airline has flights that fly to and from a place that isn't their home country. So going in and out of Dubai is Emirates' home, and anything else they fly is called a Fifth Freedom Route. Well, they have a bunch of Fifth Freedom Routes. One of them is JFK to Milan, and another one is Newark to Athens. So you can use your Capital One miles, move during a transfer bonus into Japan Air to book Emirates out of the East Coast into Europe in a couple of different spots for nothing, like literally next to nothing. So when you start to dive deeper into each one of these airlines, who they work with, another private partnership they have, Japan Air, is with Air France. And you can book Air France cheaper on Japan Air than you can do on Air France. It's crazy. You know, in the same way, and this is kind of across the board, you can book airlines cheaper through their partners than you can on their own website. You'll book Delta cheaper on Air France or Virgin Atlantic. You'll book United cheaper on Air Canada. You'll book American Airlines cheaper on British Airways. And this follows suit across all the airlines everywhere. And that's when it starts for me to get super fun.
Sorry to interrupt the episode, guys. We just want to do a really quick pause and tell you, if you are enjoying this episode, if you're loving listening to Owen, we have some really special things for you. In our show notes, we have special links just for us.
Yeah, guys, if you're listening to Owen, it's very, very clear that he is an absolute expert. He has been doing this for a very, very long time. He knows all of the ins and outs. So we are super excited to partner with him to bring his course to you. We have a link in the show notes that you can access his free course. It is going to walk you through the 101 of everything that you need to learn in order to get started in this points and miles game.
Yes, and as you guys know, we talk a lot about the fact that we don't have affiliate links. We just have personal cards to share with you. Owen is willing to do some free consultation calls with you guys. I know a lot of you want personalized advice and personalized just information about what is best for you. So if you're curious about the next card that might be really good for you, if you've reached out to us, we don't have a personal link to share with you, then go to our show notes, book a free. This man knows a lot about points and miles, and he is offering you a free call with him to decide what is best for you moving forward. So please use the link in our show notes. That does help us out. And we appreciate that you guys are so loyal and like to use the links that we can offer.
Yeah. Owen has a very unique advantage over us, which is that this is his full-time job. Guys, we have day jobs. We have kids. We have so many things. And we get so many messages from all of you asking us about help choosing your next credit cards. And we unfortunately do not have the resources to spend as much time doing that. So we are very, very excited to be able to offer you this partnership with Owen, where you can chat with him for free using our exclusive link. So please do that. This is specifically to be deciding your next credit card. And if you are in that space where you're trying to figure out what's next for you and your family, take advantage of this link.
Okay, back to the interview.
So for anyone who's listening, if you want to take part in this one, you need to have a Japan Air account, which is totally free to open up. Just go to Japan Air and open it up. Make sure that the name that you open up the account with is the same as what's on the front of your Capital One credit card. Not the same as your driving license, not the same as your passport, the same as what's on the front of your credit card. That is not your ticket. When you book your ticket, you can choose your name, but the accounts have to match in order for the points to move. Japan Air has a rule that you cannot move points in for 60 days and after the account has seasoned or been opened. But Capital One have done a deal with them, and it's only 1 week. So you can open an account today, and this time next week, you can move those points in and you'll be able to use them, which is super cool. And most people don't know about that.
Nobody is talking about that.
Everybody
is saying the thing. Well, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. You're not in my feed regularly enough. I'll have to go, you know, like a bunch of your posts so they come up more regularly. But so many of the points influencers are talking about the 60 days and nobody is talking about the week. So that is very interesting.
I think what else is interesting is, I mean, obviously I am technically an influencer or finfluencer, as we're being called now as well. But the difference is that I'm not just screaming and shouting online all day long about tips. I'm actually doing this stuff. I'm booking this stuff day in, day out. So the experience of doing it is very different to like just reporting the news of what's happening out there. The other thing that's interesting about Japan Air is the miles will last 36 months, which is actually quite a long time. Most airlines either keep them open indefinitely or they last a year or at a stretch 18 months. So 3 years you've got to use the miles. And even then, I've got a whole bunch of tricks for keeping your miles alive if you need to. You can always move points in, buy points, book a flight, cancel it. There's 20 different ways that you can keep your miles alive. So my top pick for right now is the Capital One to Japan Air bonus. I think that is a 10 out of 10 as far as transfer bonuses are concerned.
I'm wondering, and I think I may even know the answer to this. We often tell people don't move points speculatively. Do not move because there's a shiny transfer bonus. Don't move your points because, as you said, you could accidentally let them expire in a year if you forget to book with them or if your plans don't work out. But with Japan Airlines having the 3 years that they're good for, do you think that this transfer bonus is good enough that people, you know, should go ahead and move some miles speculatively just because it's such a great deal? And then I'd love for you also to share, just to make sure everyone knows, because I think people are getting really sold on Japan Airlines. Go ahead and tell us what other banks or opportunities people have to move miles over if they don't have a ton of Capital One miles, if they can't maximize this transfer bonus. Where else should they be looking and paying attention for ways to move miles over to Japan?
When to move miles is an incredibly bespoke question and answer. And I'll tell you the easiest way to answer it. If you have a lot of points, you can always take advantage of transfer bonuses and bank the advantage. It's kind of very capitalist. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. So right. If you have lots of points, you can take advantage of all the bonuses and you can leave the points sitting there. And if you do that over a long period of time, you become a multi-points millionaire. I've been doing this 25 years. I've got, and I'm not exaggerating, seven figures of points in every single airline because every time there's a bonus, I move some, but I'm never using them because I've already got miles from the last time, right? So it just keeps getting more and more and more. If you're working on a budget and you are an average American family and you're spending between $2,000 and $4,000 a month for your family of 3 to 5 people, you don't have that sort of leeway. So you have to ask yourself, where is the next trip? And is this transfer bonus going to help us, right? And if the answer is no to that, don't move any points. Your absolute primary aim as a points and miles enthusiast or newbie is to worry about your next trip. Where are you going? Is it Europe or is it Asia, realistically? How many points do you need? And the general rule of thumb is if you're flying in coach for each person, you want 25,000 points per person each way in coach to go into Europe or to go perhaps into Asia or South America. So you can do your own math. If you're a family of four, you're gonna need 200,000 points-ish to complete that. So unless you've got a specific redemption in mind or you've already found your flights, do not move your entire war chest into Japan Air. That's not going to help you. I'm talking at a much more advanced level where you've already got this year's flights tucked away and now you're already talking about next year. So like for me, I'm always a year ahead. I book all of my flights 11 months in advance. And then I hear somebody in the background, well, how do you know when you can go? And how do you know that your husband can get the time off work and all that kind of stuff? These are mileage tickets. You can cancel them up until the day before.
Yes.
So I will often, my girlfriend takes a nap and I tell her we're going to Asia in July. And then she's a doctor. She just stares at me. She's like, and how do you know kids aren't going to be sick on that day? I'm like, I don't care. If the day before there's a kid that's sick, I'll press a button and for the $25, we'll unbook that flight, right? But there was a great deal and I want to put you on a bed on a plane, right? So understanding your forecast is incredibly important. You've got to stop thinking about this year. This year should already be tucked away. Get on with it. If you don't have enough points, great. Book your flights. Can we start talking about next year? I don't want to talk about this year. I want to talk about next year because if you want the good deals, you've got to be at least 6 to 9 months ahead of the game, especially if you're a family and you're going to be flying during like kids out of school season. You've got to be on this. This is a war zone. It's you versus every other couponing mother out there.
And we're jockeying for position.
Yeah, this is extreme couponing, the gangster travel edition. Like,
yes.
That's what it is. And you can easily win. There's plenty of ways for everyone to win. But you've got to be ahead of the game. I lost my train of thought there. Where did we even start? I can't remember.
Not a clue, but you're in good company.
I know.
Oh, look, remembered.
I know. This is like ADHD versus dyslexia here. We're having a great time. But what's really interesting is if you ask across all people that are into points and miles, they've all got one of these learning difficulties in one way or another, or concentration issues, all of us.
So true. It's every our hyper-focus.
Yeah. So we came on that about when to move points. So first rule is worry about next year. Second rule is, do you have spare points that you don't need for this year that you can invest into getting a bonus for next year? That's the second part. And the third part, and this is my favorite one, is when it comes time to decide how many points to move. Here's the math that I like to run. What is the cost per person each way of the mileage ticket that you're going to book? Then discount the transfer bonus and multiply it by the amount of people. I know it's a little bit rough, so I'm going to talk you through that. Let's say it's a 30,000 point redemption on Japan Air to go to Japan in coach per person. And there's a, for argument's sake, a 30% bonus that would make it 20,000 points per person each way. And there's four of you, you times 20 by four, that's 80,000 points you move each way, if you want it for both ways. Right, because a lot of the time you might have already booked something the other way, or you might be going on an around the world extravaganza. Like, who knows? So that's the math. Is you times the amount of people per way that you require for the redemption, even if it's for next year, right? So every year there's a Virgin Atlantic, like huge 30-40% transfer bonus, and I fly predominantly on beds on planes. Predominantly they're 60,000 points. Predominantly they're 25-30% bonuses, which means net I'm looking to move increments of 40,000 points. And I've done that every year for the last 10 years, and now I've got a gazillion Virgin Atlantic miles, and I'm still counting in sets of 40 for no reason, because I've got hundreds of thousands, if not millions of points sitting there. And if you consistently do this, you consistently get a couple of new credit cards every year, and you use all the transfer bonuses, and you look for one-way tickets that are on sale price, slowly but surely you build up your war chest. I call it my travel 401k, right? Because it just slowly in the background is building while you're still having fun and traveling with your family. And then you turn around one day and you're a points millionaire. In the same way that you hear all these, you know, financial podcasts, if you just put away, you know, $100 every week, you know, by the time you're 96, you'll be a millionaire. It's kind of the same thing. I don't know.
I just had that talk with my 14-year-old. I was like, when you start your job this summer, $100 a month in that Roth IRA, let's do the investment calculator on how wealthy you'll be at 67. It blew her away. It was like $7 million, just saying.
There you go. There
but you mentioned this a little bit, so I'm going to dig into this. You were saying you do the Virgin Atlantic as it comes around. What are seasonal transfer bonuses that we can kind of rely on? We know Virgin Atlantic and Avios, they tend to do these in a little bit of a rhythm. So when can people be looking out for these? Are there specific months where it always happens? Is there a little variation?
Okay. The cadence of transfer bonuses is not exact. So if I actually printed out, had ChatGPT print me out a history and try and work out mathematically when they're coming and how much they're going to be, the short answer is it's a bit random. Here's the way that you can take the most advantage of it. By having all of the major credit card companies, all five of them that have transfer bonuses, if you have at least one of credit card of all of those, then every time there is a bonus, you can take advantage of it. Roughly every 2 or 3 months, there will be a major transfer bonus into one of the three major alliances. I want to talk about it from an alliance standpoint, because that's what matters. Because you can book most of these flights from the different alliances. So the ones that we already spoke about, we spoke about SkyTeam, which is essentially Virgin Atlantic, right? That's or Air France. They're both a part of SkyTeam. You'll be able to book anything within SkyTeam, including and not limited to, you know, KLM, Air France, Virgin Atlantic, Delta, Aeromexico, so on and so forth. You will see a bad bonus will be 20%. That will come from Capital One. A high bonus will be 25 or 30%. And that will come from essentially all the other credit card companies, right? So that's the bad versus good for SkyTeam. For Oneworld, you will see bad will be 20% and good will be 30%. And occasionally you'll see 40%. You'll always find Capital One will be worse than the others, and I'll explain to you why that is in a minute. So for Oneworld, I would pick up anything 25 and above. I very rarely will take 20%. on those. Sky Team, Star Alliance is the most interesting one of all of them. So Star Alliance is the largest alliance. It represents just over 40% of all the flights in the skies. That's quite a lot. And the bonuses won't be as good, but they are better. What do I mean by that? The bonuses will be 15 to 25%. But they're better because there's more availability, there's more flights, and the taxes are less. So you can pretty much any day of the week go into Air Canada or Life Miles by Avianca and book yourself flights into Europe last minute in any class that you want. And the taxes will be a fraction of what they are on everyone else. Mm-hmm. So I will pick those up at 15%, 20% and 25%. The new thing that they're doing, which I hate, is in particular the big blue bank that rhymes with face and begins with C, have started doing this thing where depending on how many points you move depends on what percentage bonus you get.
It's horrible.
Now, let me tell you how you can kind of navigate that. I hate it as well. Absolutely hate it. The way that I've navigated it now, if that's the way they want to play the game, well, you're messing with the points partner, my friends. I'm going to hit straight back at them. Player one, player two, have your husband or your wife, your boyfriend or your girlfriend, both of you save up and then one of you move per year so you can move a larger amount and get a larger transfer bonus. That's as best as the way you can maximize that one, or even skip a year and then save up and move lots the following year.
Yeah, I was just attacked by that structure recently. I'm taking my mom to Prince Edward Island, Canada this summer, and I was so excited because I saw that there was a transfer bonus to Air Canada through the Blue Bank, whose name we are allowed to say, but maybe you're not, so we'll keep it censored for you. I didn't realize that they had started this new structure thing. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to get a great chunk of extra here. This is fantastic. And then when I went to look at it, I realized that with the amount of points that I needed to transfer, and really the amount of points I had, because I've depleted Chase to an absurd degree, I think I got 12%. And I was devastated. I was booking them anyways. It was still a good deal. The flights were great. I knew we were going to go. We had our dates. Like, everything was set. So I did it. But I was so angry because I didn't see anything at the beginning of the process that said that that was going to happen. And so when it kind of struck me partway through the process, and I felt like it was sneaky and rude.
You know what? Whenever you have a bad redemption, a bad transfer bonus, there's one sentence you can always remember that will make you feel better. It's not as bad as paying for it.
It's very true. It's never true.
Using points and miles, you're already won. You're having an argument with yourself about how much you won. That's the only conversation. The other thing you can do is average it out. So if you have a bad redemption, just look at all the redemptions for the whole year and average it out. It drops the average way down.
Beautiful.
And by the way, my number one tip for families who are booking is if you're a family of four, don't look for four tickets. You're wasting your time most of the time. Look for two or look for three and fill in the gaps by booking a pay with points for one of the adults. So let's say there's four of you. Find three tickets at 25,000 points and then book one for 50,000 points through the credit card portal. And then average out the cost on all of you, and it came to 30,000 points instead of 25.
That's a great tip. Yeah.
They don't call me the points partner for nothing.
Sometimes with transfer bonuses, I want people to look out for this, and I want you to give us an idea if there are a lot of airlines, what opportunities, I guess, are out there. Air France is what I'm thinking of specifically in KLM. You can sometimes stack a transfer bonus on a really good sale. And with Air France and KLM, you can predict these sales because every single month they have certain routes that they will offer for 25% off. And so hopefully you can double dip and kind of hit booking with points that you used a transfer bonus for and the 25% off sale. Are there any other airlines that have some pretty predictable sales that you can stack and almost double dip your transfer bonuses?
Yes. So the main one you've tapped into, which is Air France, but they're always going to be SkyTeam redemptions. So in particular, it's going to be Virgin Atlantic, Delta, and Air France. They're the only ones that do these like crazy sales. And they tend to do them quite a lot. I would say every 3 to 4 months, either Delta, Virgin Atlantic have a crazy sale on. But I want to talk about Air France in particular, because Air France is monthly. Air France has their frequent flyer program is called Flying Blue, and they do what's called the Flying Blue monthly promos, which is, I think, what you were tapping into there.
Yes.
Every single month, I have it in my calendar on the first of the month to go to Air France and see what the promos are and see if you can take advantage of those. So essentially, that's the only real double stack. You've got the 25 to 50% off of the monthly promos on Air France, in conjunction with a transfer bonus. So you're getting 25% off and probably roughly a 25% bonus, which means you're roughly getting it at half the cost. But you can also earn the points at twice the ratio. So instead of having a credit card that's giving you 1x points or 2x points, you could be earning ones that are earning 98% of my spend. This is going to blow your mind. 98% of my spend, I get 5x points on.
Is your whole life just gift cards and Chase Inc? Or...
Yeah, yeah. It's not just that. There's actually other cards that I do it on as well. I don't love talking about credit cards because it always makes people rush onto my website and get credit cards that aren't right for them. This is some advanced stuff. But it's not just that one card, and it's not just gift cards, but predominantly it is. So if you can earn points at 3-4 times the rate of other people and use them at half the amount, you're literally getting 15 times the amount of travel that everyone else is. And I literally am, and I literally show people, and I lead by example, and I drag other people along with me. I'm watching the two of your faces and your eyes light up. You've got the same enthusiasm that I've had since day one that I still have today, which is just how awesome is that.
It's the best. It never dies.
Yeah. There's one other thing that we spoke about before that we forgot to tidy up, which was I said that you'll always find that Capital One has smaller transfer bonuses. Right. The reason is that Capital One is a non-bonus category credit card, right? So you have bonuses: food, drink, gas, travel, marketing, and office supplies. I'll say that again slowly for those people that haven't had their coffee yet. Food, drink, travel, marketing, and office supplies. They're the places that you can get extra points for certain credit cards. Everything else is considered non-bonus, and the most you're going to get is 2 points for every dollar spent, and you'll do that on all the Capital One cards, across the board. So they know that, which means most business owners have a Capital One card and they're putting tons of money on. So you're kind of already maxing out that type of spend, which is why they can't really give you the same transfer bonuses that they can do on some of the other credit cards and other credit card companies. So that's the kind of justification for it. So if you see something that is like 15, 20% plus out of Capital One, that's a great transfer bonus for Capital One, and jump on it. You would expect the other credit card companies to have slightly more, and they do.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
Let me tell you, I've been doing this a long time, and I over the years I've realized that different people require different bits of help, different skill sets, and different ways to learn this. Right, it's interesting that we had a whole conversation about learning difficulties and where just the three of us sit on that. I would love to, without the risk of sounding like a secondhand car salesman, tell you guys and all your listeners all the different services that I offer, because I do it for absolutely everyone, whether you don't want to learn this and you have learning difficulties, or whether you're a billionaire and you want beds on planes. I've kind of designed it so that there's something for everyone. The first thing is, to anyone who wants to learn this stuff, there's a free course on my website. Just go watch it. It's an hour and a half long. It's called the Fly Free Academy. Go watch that. It will teach you the absolute 101 of how to get going with this stuff. There is a longer paid version of it, and I'm sure they'll offer you a discount code on my website if you want to watch that, but you don't need to. The hour and a half gets you up and running to play this game on your own. If you are a seasoned points and miles ninja, and some of the stuff that I was talking about today makes sense to you and you were nodding along to yourself, I have what's called my inner circle, which is a private community. We have a private Facebook group, and I do Zoom calls every couple of weeks for the community, and I do incredibly detailed high-level ninja stuff and we do it as a community and we have a lot of fun. We also have meetups and we fly around the world together and all that kind of fun stuff. So that's my inner circle. If you need help finding flights or you need help booking flights, that's a service that I offer as well. I do private sessions for business owners or high spenders. If you've got a family or a community or you've got a book club, I'll come along and speak and you know, help people out. Pretty much anything to do with credit profiles, credit scores, credit cards, points, miles, airports, beds on planes and everything in between, I can help. Tell me how I can best help you. If I don't already have a service like that, I will create one for you.
Oh, I love this. It's catered to you, exactly what your needs are. Tell people exactly where they can find all of that stuff, and I will also link it in the show notes.
You can find me on all platforms, your favorite platform, at The Points Partner. Instagram, TikTok are the obvious ones. I also have the website, thepointspartner.com. My DMs are open, as they say. Just reach out, ask a question. Unlike a lot of people in Points and Miles, I actually do this full time from 6 a.m. every day until 7 p.m. every day. Reach out, ask me a question. I'm obsessed with it. It's not just about earning money. I just love talking about it and helping people and booking it and getting people extra points. It literally puts a smile on my face. People always say to me, they always say, like, you have to be passionate about what you do. I genuinely love being woken up in the middle of the night with a photo of somebody on a bed on a plane that they didn't pay for.
Yeah,
please.
It's like drugs.
It is like drugs.
It's better than drugs, in my opinion.
Yeah. Anyway, that's me. I'm here. I love the two of you. This was a lot of fun. We should do this again. I have fun.
Yeah.
Oh, and thank you so much for joining us today. We are so glad that you have been here, that you've been willing to share your knowledge. Everybody, go check him out online. And I just want to leave everybody with one little thing. And we mentioned this in the middle of the episode somewhere, but there's a very famous quote, and I don't know who actually gets attributed to, but it says, comparison is the thief of joy.
Thief
in the Points
joy.
And Miles game, online, you're going to see a lot of fancy stuff. And it may make you feel bad about whatever you got, whatever deal you got. But as Owen said earlier, that deal that you got is still awesome. It's still better than paying full cash like you used to do. In the Points and Miles world, doesn't matter if you got a 10% transfer bonus, a 40% transfer bonus, they're both awesome. And celebrate what you've done. And now you're even smarter so you can learn better for next time. The first redemption that any of us have ever done is not as good as the current one we're doing because we're learning, we're growing along the way. Mm. Don't let comparison steal your joy. Enjoy your Points and Miles trips. And we will see you guys here next time.
Preach. Bye, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. We hope you learned something new and feel inspired to plan your next trip.
Remember, we're travelers sharing our experiences, not financial advisors. So always do your own research and make informed decisions.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like, subscribe, and follow so you never miss a Points and Miles tip.
We'll see you next time on Wonderland on Points.